John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, shew thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when is, by the way, let me just stop there. I've got some more scripture to read to get to where I want to be tonight. But let me just stop there. It's kind of some things that kind of leap out at me. And verse 2 says, Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. You know what that tells me? Now who was it that ordained the Feast of Tabernacles? It was God. But it's the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. What does that tell you? That tells me that they weren't doing it the way God wanted them to do it. They had already strayed away. He didn't say it was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. So just something to think about. And then, talking about his brethren, he said, verse 5, For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. And this is something that we need to understand, that the lost world, they don't hate the unbeliever. They hate Jesus. They wouldn't care one whit about your eye, other than to use us up and throw us out. Wouldn't care one whit about us were it not for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's not you they hate, it's Him. You know, the rage against Christians is not against Christians at all, it's against Jesus. And when the armies of the earth, we talked a little bit about that last Wednesday when we were talking about the millennial kingdom, the armies that gather against the Jews, who do they end up fighting against? Jesus. They don't really care one whit about the Jews were it not for Jesus. The Jews have been persecuted because of Jesus. The Christians are persecuted because of Jesus. You know, it's all the, you can liken it, in a sense, to get a picture of what we're talking about here and the way the world reacts and things like that. You look at the left-wing anger against former President Trump. All right. Now, they used to love him, didn't they? He was one of them. Until he aligned himself with the people they despise. Now, they hate him. Same thing with us when it comes to the world persecuting Christians. We were one of theirs until we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Something to think about. It's just the way they are. And he said, The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, it hateth, because I testify that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is this not he whom they seek to kill? They said, You got a devil. Who's going about to kill you? And then now the people say, Well, isn't this guy they want to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour is not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me? And where I am, thither ye cannot come. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for each thing that we've heard, read. Lord, we just pray that you'd use it in our hearts. And Lord, pray you challenge our hearts tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's something that Jesus said on that last day of the feast. After he told them that he would go to a place where they couldn't come unless they believed on him, he was telling them what was going to happen. He said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, notice what he said. He said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, it's very clear. He's already told them over there. He said, He said in John chapter 6 and verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. All right? So he told them about that, about his flesh and his blood. And before that, he said in verse 35 of John chapter 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All right? And so he said that he was the bread of life, and he said that he was the living bread from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so then we read on in verse 53, and they said in verse 60, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, all right? Now, I want to draw a picture here for you, all right? Obviously, John chapter 6 makes it very clear that to come to him is to eat, and to believe on him is to drink, right? And John chapter 6 and verse 35, and he talks about giving himself for the world, and he said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. So that shows that Judas was an unbeliever. But he knew who believed, and he said that it was the Spirit that quickened it, the flesh profited nothing. The words that he spake, their spirit and their life. So it's a spiritual eating, it's a spiritual drinking, it's based upon faith in his shed blood on Calvary's cross as payment for our sins, right? And he said in John chapter 7 and verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and, what, drink. All right? Then he said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now that phrase, as the Scripture hath said, is obviously very important. Because what is described, what is talked about here, is repeated in the Old Testament. I will not take the time to go back to the Old Testament and show you the prophecies he's talking about. I think you could look that up yourself fairly easy and learn it. If you have a problem and you want that information, I'll get that for you and give you the chapters and the book, chapter and verse and all that was talking about. It's mentioned in the Psalms. It's mentioned in the prophets as well. And so there's that picture there of he talks about, he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that should believe, that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So they could not, we could not be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We could not get the Spirit, be baptized with the Spirit, whatever terminology you want to use, until Jesus was glorified, until his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he was glorified. And he did the office of a high priest. That's why when Mary Magdalene met him, there after he was risen, after the disciples had already looked in the tomb and went the other way and went on their way, and Mary stood there weeping. He came and he appeared to her. She thought he was the gardener. And he said her name, and she looked up and she recognized him. She said, Rabboni. And what did he say? Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended unto my Father. So he was going and offering his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and going there and doing that function as our great high priest, going into the literal holiest of all, and offered himself without spot to God. What the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God. Alright, so he did that, and then afterwards he told his disciples, touch me, handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So Mary couldn't touch him because he couldn't be touched in the office of the high priest. But after that was done, after the blood was on the mercy seat, if you will, then the sins were remitted, and there it was done. Okay? And it was finished, and all of that, obviously it was finished when Jesus said, it's finished on Calvary, but there were things that needed to be done. So he went there. And when he met them, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now he didn't lie to them. They didn't have to wait till Pentecost to get the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is not about the church getting the Spirit of God. Pentecost is a witness to Israel. It was a picture. It was the fullness of the Spirit. It was something that was prophesied. It was not... Jesus didn't lie to them when he breathed on them and told them, receive you the Holy Ghost. All right? He didn't lie to them at all. All right? So we could spend a long time talking about that. But so I want you to say, he said, he that believeth me, as the scripture has said, I want you to see, rather, he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, that couldn't happen to those that believe on him until they receive the Holy Ghost. Now, you and I know that the Bible teaches that when a person believes, he's sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, right? All right, Ephesians chapter 2. And he's sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, it's through faith in him that we're born again. For you are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The book of Galatians, right? So the faith is there. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Spirit comes and indwells the believer. But we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And it said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, which he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Alright? So the Holy Spirit is supposed to flow out of us, out of our inmost beings, out of our belly. Right? Out of the middle. But that is triggered by belief. That's why in the book of Colossians it tells us what? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, being rooted and built up, established, and all the things it said. We're to walk in him the same way. We walk not by faith, but by not by sight, but by faith. We don't walk by sight; we walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So there you have the picture there. And of course, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13: These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life, and what? That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You believe on him to get saved, and know you have eternal life, and we're to continue to believe on him. There is the picture that we have to have there. And the other thing we need to see in Ephesians 4:30, it tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We're not to grieve the Spirit. We're not to, in the book of Ephesians, it tells us, I believe Ephesians or Thessalonians, I can't remember, tells us to quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. So we're not to grieve the Spirit, we're not to quench the Spirit. How does that happen? That happens through sin and unbelief. It stops the flow of the Spirit of God in our life. It stops it. It quenches it. God's desire is not that. That's why it's important that we get right with God. That's why it's important when we become aware of wrongdoing, we confess it with a full intention and desire of forsaking it. And because we're talking about trying to win people to the Lord, and we're talking about trying to make a difference, and we're talking about being vessels for the Spirit of God to deal with people and convict people of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the work of the Spirit of God. We're supposed to be doing that. We talk about when the rapture comes, the church being taken out, and what's taken out there? That influence of the Spirit of God through us. But that time isn't here yet. So why should we hinder it? Through unbelief. Do you follow what I'm trying to tell you tonight? God's intent was for out of our belly to flow rivers of living water. That's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was supposed to make a difference in our lives. And not just in our lives, in the lives of other people. We're to be vessels for the Spirit of God to go out and influence other people through the preaching of the Word, through the sharing of the Gospel, through the living a godly life, to the doing of what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we forget, we lose sight of that. But this is Bible. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. If you believe on Jesus, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it's clear there from the context. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. By the way, brother, we were talking about, and that fellow you talked about said the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost were two different things. Well, that verse right there puts them right together, doesn't it? This spake he of the Spirit, all right, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So that takes care of that issue right there. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same person, just a different name. All right? That's like calling Jesus the Son and the Word. He's both. Same person. Yep. So we look at the passage of Scripture there, and we see what he says there, and this is what's supposed to happen with us. This is what's supposed to go on. This is our life, and it's our goal to make sure that channel's open. And the thing that closes it is unbelief. Unbelief brings forth sin, and sin is a detriment to grieving the Spirit. Unbelief quenches the Spirit. Trying to remember that passage. I want to think it's either in Ephesians or 1 Thessalonians, but let me think, maybe it's in 1 Thessalonians that he talks about that. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Yep, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, notice what he says. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 starting in Verse 14, he says, Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. So we're supposed to not render evil for evil. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. We're to give thanks in everything. We're to quench not the Spirit. We're to despise not prophesying. That's the Word of God. Don't despise the preaching of the Word. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Notice what he talks about there. But there's that picture of not quenching the Spirit. We're told, if you go over to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, he tells us about that. That we spoke about before, is it Galatians chapter 4, verse 30? What am I looking for here? I'm in the wrong spot. Let's see. I don't know why I'm saying 4:30. Or is it Ephesians 4:30? Maybe it's Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30, not Galatians 4:30. Notice what he says. He tells us, he says, if you go in the book of Ephesians, I'm sorry, it's Ephesians 4:30, not Galatians 4:30. But Ephesians 4:30 says, verse 20, But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As we look through that, we see the picture there. The picture is there's a lot of things we need to stay away from and a lot of things we ought to be doing so that we don't quench the Spirit, so that we don't grieve the Spirit, and so that we walk in the Spirit so that what? It flows. And it's not a feeling. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm talking about us believing God. Your feelings come and go. I'm talking about us actually reaching out to people and God doing something. That's what we need. We don't need a bunch of people feeling, "Ooh, I feel good." I don't care whether you feel good, bad, or indifferent. When Paul and Silas were in the jail and in the stocks in Philippi, they did not feel good. But folks got saved. God did miracles at midnight. Well, can't sleep. Might as well pray and sing. You know, I had a friend, guy I worked with, and everything like that. He would always say something. You know, we'd say, "Well, I guess we need to go do that." He said, "Might as well. Too wet to plow. Too windy to stack BBs." And I'd say, yep, and we kind of laugh about it and everything like that. But, I mean, Paul and Silas is like, man, I can't sleep. Neither can I. Might as well pray and sing praises unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them, didn't they? And that's when the earthquake came. That's when somebody's life was changed. That's when the Spirit of God reached people. And we've got to let the Spirit of God use us the way it wants to. But we've got to walk, not in unbelief, but in faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the service. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we just pray for each one that's here and those that are not. We pray, Lord, that you'd help all of us see our need to just trust you, live by faith, to believe on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not just for our salvation, but for our life. Lord, that you might use us. Lord, help us to see the sin in our life and help us to be willing to simply repent and depend upon you to change and become what we ought to be, to allow you to perform the work that you desire in our hearts, so that the Spirit of God would flow through us, that we'd be filled with the Spirit and teaching and admonishing one another. Lord, help us to do that. Help us not to quench or grieve the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Lord, we just pray that it would flow as you intended to make a difference in this world. Help us, Lord, to make a difference. We thank you in Jesus' name.